everybody. Welcome back to the Moments Peace podcast. Today, I'm joined by a very special friend and guest, Jeannie, and we're going to talk today about homeschooling, period, parenting with special needs.
Yeah, hey, Jeannie. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on.
I'm so excited for you guys.
Thank you. Thanks for being with us. You're our first guest, so we're really excited about that, too. So this is a topic I think we need to talk more about because most people don't talk about it, and it's very much a need, and there's a lot to unpack and say. So how about we start with just your story?
Okay, well, I have two kids, one on each end of the spectrum. I have a daughter who pretty much has raised herself, and she's just fantastic and great, and she's doing dual enrollment at Southeastern, which is a local college here, and so I don't do anything but pay for her to go. And then I have a son who has special needs. He requires a lot more attention, time. We're constantly getting excited because we think something's going to work, and it doesn't, and we have to go back to square one. We try something else, and, you know, we started with public school. My daughter did great in that. My son did not do well with that. Within 2 months, we took him out, and I put him back in preschool for another year, and then that gave me a year to figure out what to do for him, so I put him in private school. That worked well for 3 years, but year four, it fell apart. Because they had him in the regular classroom and he could not do the work because he was not typical. So he couldn't do the work. And then they had a special needs class, but he wasn't like the other kids in that class. They had a lot more needs. They had a lot more behavioral problems. They had more going on. They needed a lot more help. So he was like right in between and they couldn't figure out what to do with him. And he grew very unhappy being bounced back and forth and discouraged. So then we took him out and we decided we're going to try homeschooling, which has changed so much. My husband was homeschooled, and he was not excited about the idea. Because he was homeschooled in, like, the 90s, right?
And so when everybody was weird. Well, and it was just starting less, like, around, resources.
It was pretty much him and his sister, and, you know, he had, like, one friend, and he just felt very isolated, and so he was not for it. But anyway, he's seen some stuff in the public schools recently that he was really glad we took that path. But so we did that, and Nate did Sylvan for 2 years. He got one-on-one tutoring. We were doing homeschooling, and Sylvan very nicely said, he's not progressing. You know, we don't know what to do. We're doing all this, and it's not happening for him, and we can't pass him to the next level if he doesn't score a certain level. And he was frustrated, so we were like, okay, we'll regroup from that.
So at what age would you say that was?
Oh, so maybe like 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago.
Okay. Yeah. So, because your kids' ages now are?
So Nate's about to be 16 and Noelle's 17. She's going to be a senior. Well, she is a senior. She's already started classes.
Okay.
So then we started doing like co-ops, and we have a local homeschool community here, Lighthouse, and he did a co-op with them last year at Compass, and that was a big success for him. We decided to go a different route this year, but that worked really well for last year. This year he's doing My Academy. I cannot say enough good things about My Academy. I wish I had done that years ago. It is expensive. It's $30 a month, but you can try the first month for $1.99. And so what's great about My Academy is you go in the parents' account, and there's so many options. So there's a high school one called My Prep. It's got a lot harder stuff. It's high school level. But the other one, I mean, you have so many options of things you can pick from. And what's really good about it is in the parents' account, you pick everything, what day of the week you want them to do it, how much you want them to do it, what score they have to get on the quizzes. So I have his set at 80%. And then they don't see what grade level you're picking either. So they don't get discouraged if you feel like, you know, well, my kid's really in eighth grade, but they need to be doing a sixth grade level for English. They really don't know that. But my kid's doing really well in math, so I might put him in the algebra. You know, right. So you get to pick and choose instead of having it one level. And there's...
I wish more curriculum companies did that, because that's like, even for kids who, you know, are progressing and processing normally, that, you know, sometimes people have weaknesses and strengths, and that would be nice if it was all just leveled and not, you know, this is the grade.
They even have extracurriculars. He's doing an intro to computers right now, learning about various instruments in the world. He's learning some weird stuff I've never heard of. he's taking an ancient history. He's in the pre-algebra class. So it's been a really good success for us picking that. But like I said, I know I've done this long enough that it may not last. So in 6 months, I could be trying to come up with a different idea, because things, it just don't seem to last. And you have to be flexible with that. Like, that's a big thing.
So talking about flexibility, you went through a lot of testing and diagnosis and stuff like that. So can you tell us a little bit more about that?
So from a very early age, I would say two, we started doing all this testing, genetic testing, therapies. It became like a part-time job for me. Like, I felt like that's all I did. Then they had him on this med, then we tried that med, and I had to go get the meds filled, and then we had to go to the neurologist, and we had psychologists. We had behavioral therapists that we did. We did Brain Balance Center, which that was actually really good. It was expensive, but we learned a lot about food.
Yes.
You know, we started eating very clean, trying to do organic, non-GMO, no colors, things like that. And Nate really understood that and took it seriously. And he, for his 10th birthday, he ate a cupcake and he said, I'm never eating sugar again.
I mean, he inspires us. And the kid never gets sick. He's never sick. And he's just got the strongest immune system. But he doesn't even get tempted is the thing that I'm just like, how did, you know, lots of times when kids have ADD or ADHD, they're like hyper-focused on something. And like for him, it's like he was like, I learned this is a problem. I'm not going to let that go into my body, whether it's because it the way it helps him process or because he knows about cancers and just illness. And it just, he has such strong conviction that, you know, it convicts us and, you know, and he inspires us with his discipline.
He eats a lot of fruit.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have That's a cold like in our house. he's the one over there. Oh, I need to eat extra fruit today. He's eating more cantaloupe and whatever. But as far as like added sugar, junk food, stuff like that, he looks and he doesn't eat it. So very proud of him for that.
Yeah. That, I mean, that takes a lot. And he actually like inspires even his peers, you know, because they're like, he's not afraid to be like, well, you know what that's going to do to you or, you know, that's too much. And I love that. He's very inspirational with that, which I think us a lot of times, a lot of people don't talk about how kids with special needs can change our lives in an inspirational way and how they encourage us. Like, do you want to talk about how parenting him and even homeschooling him changed you?
He is a very thoughtful child. He's very sweet, very considerate. He's always doing stuff for other people, whether he's doing something nice for his sister or for me or his dad. And sometimes those things that he set out to do ended up, you know, destroying something, or we have a funny story to tell afterwards. But he does things like that, and he thinks about things in a way that I don't, and I don't have the answers. And so another huge thing for us was Google. Like, I was completely against giving kids access to computers and phones and stuff like that. But for a child like him, it was a huge help, because I can't answer 100 questions a day. I found it exhausting. But when we gave him his own phone, he asked Google questions all day. We would hear him in his room, like he had a friend up there, and he'd be like, hey Google, you know, when was this invented, and how much is this person worth, and well, when did this start, and what caused this war, and all this stuff that I just found exhausting. It was really helpful for him.
Right. So that was like a quick way to feed kind of the constant processing and curiosity that they that they have and stuff. So like, is that something that we can talk about, is because you said, you know, on the spectrum, there's a wide variety of special needs. Mm-hmm. And you said like how he didn't really totally fit in a box, like he looks normal. And so do you want to hit a little bit on, you know, reality versus expectations that's, or, you know, preconceptions people may have?
Yeah, so Nate looks completely normal. If you saw him, you'd be like, wow, he's a nice looking kid. We've always said he looks kind of like Bart Simpson because he has the blonde hair and he has the longer face, and my husband's Homer and he's like, ah.
That's hilarious.
But he, you know, he's big and he's tall. I call him Jolly Green Giant Nate sometimes. He looks normal, but I have to take a step back on that too and realize that sometimes I think my expectations are too high for him. And so I'm able to give other people grace when their expectations are too high. So, you know, we have been very fortunate that I learned this on really early on, that keeping your circle small is important. Like, I have a lot of acquaintances, friends, people like that. But there's just a couple people, I would say, families that we do life with. And yours is one of them. You know, we've known each other a few years now, and in those years, y'all been through some rough stuff, we've been through some rough stuff,
yes.
And, you know, even if you can't fix it, it's just nice that your friends know you're going through those kind of stuff, but having that small circle that if Nate comes over and he says something really crazy, or, you know, he is just thinking about something different, or something petty happens, we don't have to sit and talk about it. It doesn't have to be, you know, something we have to make a big deal about it. We just kind of move on from it. Our friends, the Georges, you know, love
yes.
them. Same situation. Those are really good friends of ours, and they have their own stuff going on, and my daughter Noelle can go stay the night over there, and if their kid's having a bad night, Noelle doesn't even notice. She doesn't even ever tell me anything that happens over there. I know something probably did, but it doesn't have to be something you make a big deal about.
Right.
And their daughter comes over to our house, and if Nate's having a weird day or our family's having a weird day, there's a lot of commotion or whatever, I don't think she even notices either, you know? And that's very special, because you're going to have people that don't understand, and it's going to be very exhausting to you, your children, and the other family if they just don't understand it. And just take that stress away. Find a few people that do get it. You know, some people are going to think, oh, you're just making excuses. They wouldn't have these diagnoses if they didn't have the behaviors and the intellect difficulties going on to go along with the diagnoses. They didn't just get these labels or whatever you want to call them for no reason. They have to have something going on. So for you to expect them not to show it, it's just hard.
Right. It is really hard, because even in a later episode, we're going to talk about type 1 diabetes and how that right. affects stuff. Because, you know, if his blood sugar is high, it's like he's a different person. He's mentally not there. He will, you know, he's done a lot of different stuff. So, like, even medical needs is different when it changes and affects your actual personality. And for a child like you, or maybe like the Georges, it's more of, it is like who they are, but it's the way they process stuff more than anything else. It's not like they're completely incapable of knowing right from wrong. Sometimes I love, like, a lot of autistic children are so precious because there's no filter. You know what I mean?
And you usually have to be careful. You can't take them many places. Yeah,
that's right.
You don't know what they're going to say.
Right. And so that's a perfect example. Like, some people will think that you're not doing enough to discipline your child, or your child's unruly, or, you know.
Your child shouldn't go anywhere. That's ridiculous.
Yes,
would
exactly.
Would you not want your child to go somewhere, or your grandchildren to go somewhere? That's when that circle is important. Take them around right. people that are not going to make them feel like they have a third head or something, and it's okay. You know, they're encouraging.
Right, because I think that sometimes we get hit, like, even with me, before I knew Jacob was diagnosed, he would bite my hand and kick me, but he had such high blood sugar in his system, and he would say ugly things, and he would yell, and sometimes he's still like that, even though he's a teenager. Actually, Nate and Jacob are only, like, a week apart, so, like, that's neat. But, like, it's different when you're with a mom who kind of knows grace is going to be given. Even if, you know, something may need to be addressed, like if something happens with our boys, it's like we know to give each other space and time, and then we'll come back when everybody's ready. Because, like, you can't really reason with them. Like, I can get further with Jacob when his blood sugar is in the right place. Like, after something's upset Nate, it's a lot easier for let him process it, get through it, and then he can come back and, you know, you guys can, we can reconcile if that needs to happen, or we can, you know, everything becomes calmer. But I feel like there's some parents or other people who are not living it that tend to think that you're not doing your job the way you should.
Chronic illness, that's another label. Like, you have your issues yes. and I have my issues. That's just another layer that's on us.
Right.
That we can understand, you know, right. like what's going on. You have to pack your food everywhere you go.
Yes.
We have to pack our food everywhere we go. Yeah. And yes. It's a way of life, you know. Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's so much easier to connect, and you do need to find, like, your people, even if it's, like you said, just one or two other families, because, I mean, I know we've all traveled together too, and that makes it so much easier, because you're like, okay, after a certain many hours, we're going to need to get out of this car. they're going to need to get some fresh air, or we're not going to stay up late because we don't know what our night might hold. You know what I mean? And, like, just the idea of resting because of so much, like, go, 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 just to keep up with them, or sometimes even their shenanigans, which happens more, I think, when they're younger. They're less often when they're teenagers, but they seem to be bigger when they're, you know, when something happens when they're teenagers, you know.
Well, little kids, little problems, big kids, big problems.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah.
And that's another thing, and this is not true for all families, but for us, Nate outgrew so much stuff, you know. 10 years ago, if you said, is he going to be able to drive? I would have said, probably not. Mm-hmm. Is he ever going to have a job? Probably not. And he has both those things now. You know, he's had a job since he was 14. He loves his job, and he got his permit, and that was rough to start with, but he's doing really well with that now. And those are things I didn't think would happen, and I'm very mindful that that won't work for every family, but just have that hope, because I didn't have any. I was like, I want to be surprised instead of constantly disappointed and sad. And so for me, I've been a lot surprised that he's been able to do so much. He's reading, he's writing. Like, I didn't know if any of that stuff was going to happen 10 years ago.
So how did you get to the comfortability with the driving? You know, because that probably, you know, you can celebrate the markers of like, oh, he's reading, he's writing, which that is huge in itself because you're like, he can communicate for himself and he can get around, you know, reading is like everything. And then, you know, the job kind of probably boosts his confidence and actually made him more tolerable of people. You know what I mean? Like, and he's kind of more like joyous, like the way he is when he, you know, greets people.
When we go out of the store now, he says, "Have a good one," to the cashier. And I'm always like, wow, that's really cool. You know?
Yeah. It's like he, in his personality, has also, because I feel like sometimes these kids tend to be a little bit more introverted too. And some of them don't like touch. Like these are, you know, and some are more comfortable, which, you know, it just depends on the child.
He doesn't like to be touched. Mm-hmm. Every morning I go out and I touch his back because his back is where he sits at the table, is to the back of my bedroom when I come out. And every day he doesn't like it. And, you know,
right.
Like, stop touching me. And I'm like, well, I've done it every day. I'm not going to stop.
Right.
The church situation, we went to a really large church for over a decade, and it just kept growing bigger and bigger, and that was great for the church. It was not so good for him, and when we moved, we found a smaller church, and he's happier now. The bigger churches offer special needs ministries, which we really loved, especially when he was littler. He had, they had like Fridays where you got paired with buddies, and that was just such a great experience for us. But now that he's older, he doesn't really do that. He likes the smaller church. It's just not as loud. It's not as many people. You know,
yeah, that makes sense because the sensory, you know, hearing and the sensory disorder stuff, that's a big thing that most people don't like consider.
I don't really like all that loudness when it's really loud.
Yeah,
so
I can't
really
handle
it. Get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. So with Nate, how did you get to the point where you're like, I think he can do this and I want him to drive?
Well, he cut his grandpa's grass. So he was already like using a lawnmower and, you know, kind of steering and stuff like that. I enrolled him in a private driver's ed class because I did not think he probably would pass the one at the public schools because my daughter had done it. Anyway, I just thought that might be too much for him, too much expected of him. And so I thought, well, we'll just see what happens with this. I also was taking him to our church. We go to a church about 7 minutes from our house, and he got to drive in the parking lot. We did that a lot, where I would let him park, and I'd let him drive around, and they actually have two parking lots, and so, you know, we do circle, and he did really well with that, so he kind of got the flow of that, and then he passed the driver's ed. So, why should I hold him back, you know? So then we took him to the DMV, and he got his permit, and he did really well on the test. He only missed one question, and he was for sure he got it right, and he found it online how he got that one right. So he tells everybody he got 100 on it.
That's awesome. So like that was even a gradual comfortability, and then you just said, okay, well, let me see a little bit more here. And now when he's driving, is there any way that you prepare him, or when it comes to like judgment calls, or do you just kind of like let him be? Because it's scary for moms across the board, but then when you add on their boy and then add on any special needs, you know.
And you add on, you have your own anxieties.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I had ordered this pack of the, you know, it says student driver magnets, and I have them going all around my car. So I just want everybody to stay away. We don't really talk about it that much. If something goes wrong, we address, you know, what happened. We've had a few incidences, but it's just gotten so much better. And I will tell you, probably the first 3 hours, I didn't know if this was going to work out. Mm-hmm. But again, he's proved me wrong. So he's trying to talk me into letting him get his license in 6 months. I don't know if that's going to happen. He sees it as I'll get to go fishing anytime I want. Mm-hmm. He just wants to go fishing. So I don't know if that's going to happen, but he's doing really well.
So what would you say are your most important life skills that you have taught him? So that, you know, with special needs that you felt was important for him to have?
So right now, we decided a few years back when he wasn't progressing in academics that we were going to take a different approach and focus on what he needed just to be okay in life. Just the life skills, because we're not going to be around forever, and I didn't want to put that on my daughter that she would always have to be taking care of him. He needed to be okay. So you need to know how to have a job, how to get along with people, how to clock in, how to clock out. And so he's done really well with that. We got him his own debit card, so he buys stuff, he pays for stuff. He's done really well with that, just teaching him about money, how to add money, how to leave tips, you know, just basic things. You know, we've really talked about, you know, how to put gas in the car. We've got some life skill books that we work through with him, you know, just making decisions. And there's no reason why I think he shouldn't be able to work a full-time job and support himself and be able to be on his own. He wants to take a trade. We'll see if that happens. Come back in like 5 or 10 years and maybe I'll be like, you know, I didn't know he was going to do this, but he did it. And something in the last couple of years has really clicked and he started doing a lot better in school and things like that. So
that's awesome. And how do you feel as a mom with him on the verge of going into adulthood? What do you feel you are your biggest concerns or, you know, and do you have any concerns specifically on how society might treat him or, you know, because, you know, in the homeschool community, we've seen people kind of outs you or outs me or whatever because, you know, it's hard and it's like they feel inadequate if we were going to be in a class or if we were going to do a co-op or even a social party, you know, they feel like, you know, that might be not the best situation for them. But, you know, we kind of think, no, they need to learn to be in that. And we also kind of feel like the Christian community should have grace and compassion in, you know, embracing us. But how do you feel that going into, like, as he get into his later high school years and launching out into adulthood, do you feel like your role would be, and do you feel like a sense of protection over him or through any anxieties that you might have for him?
I don't see him moving out anytime soon. So I'll have that at least for a good while. He talks about maybe rooming with his friend, Josh. I don't know. We'll see if that happens. Because they're both not very neat people, so they would not get their deposit back. But he'll be at home for a while, so I can look over him. And I'm worried about people taking advantage of him, because he does have such a kind heart. He wants to help everybody, and you know, I don't want him to like give all his money away. Or as far as like safety and stuff, we try to teach him, you know, the safe way to use, you know, appliances, and you know, make sure you're keeping your door shut, lock doors, you know, just things like that.
And what about the sibling aspect of it? Has your daughter ever felt exasperated, embarrassed, yeah, or hurt on others' behalf because of her brother? Like the relationship between them, mm-hmm, and maybe some of the if you can give us a picture between the dynamics of like you as a parent dealing with them and then, you know, yeah, like, you know, Nate and Noelle and then overall the dynamic as parent and child. Like, does there ever feel like favoritism is a thing, or why does she get to do this and then I can't, or you know, does she feel exasperated, or is she an encourager?
Well, they don't get along. I don't think they would mind me saying that. They don't have anything in common. He really gets on her nerves, and that's why I've told her she needs to try living on campus next year. I think she'll be happier. She's fighting me on that for some weird reason. You think she'd want to leave, but she, you know. And as far as Nate goes, he is very jealous of her. He compares himself to her a lot and wants to be able to do all the stuff that she's doing. And we just try to really hit home that your capabilities are different and you're going to do different things. And you're also a man. You know, you're going to have different things. You're going to have different roles in life, different expectations. And so you might be doing a trade or something like that where she might be a teacher. You know, I mean, anybody can do either one, mm-hmm, but what I'm saying is that he's going to have different expectations on his role as a man in society.
Right.
You know, and everybody, their goals and their strengths is not reading, their strengths is not math, and that's okay because everybody can't do the same job. Everybody has different levels. And I'm constantly telling him that, you know, I consider myself to be an okay smart person. I'm not, like, super smart, but I would not be able to do calculus or learn Japanese or any of those things. Like, I'm not there. Like, there's a wall for me, and your wall is over here. Everybody's is somewhere different, and you have to know. I tell them all the time, your sister wouldn't be smart enough to become a lawyer or a surgeon, you know? Mm-hmm. That wouldn't happen for her. She doesn't have that ability. So you just have to find where you're at and do the best with what you've been given.
So I like that you, because that sounds more like you're coaching him along rather than telling him, well, you just can't do this and she can. But then it also sounds like, and also knowing Noelle academically, like she soars. Mm-hmm. And did you ever feel tempted to kind of like hold her back, or did you feel, or did you kind of always have that like homeschool mindset? Like, no, this is where she's at and this is her path and this is his path. And no, you know, we may have different obstacles and dynamics or extra, maybe even stressors to carry, we're going to make sure that they both succeed in the path that they're on at their pace.
So I'm very fortunate she was older, because I think if he was older, it would have been a lot more problems, because then he would be like, why? She's younger than I am, and she's getting to do this, and she's getting to do that, where now that she's older, he doesn't really think that way. It's kind of like, well, she's older, so she should be driving, and she should be going to school, and she should be doing these things, but she's also very, I wouldn't say neat, but she takes care of her stuff. She's responsible, and you're not. You don't take care of anything, and you make some bad decisions sometimes, so you don't get to do the same things and have the same privileges as her.
So I know you said they don't get along, but they do. They are very protective of each other.
I would say they're protective of each other, yeah, but yeah.
They do. And so how that does Noelle feel any sense of responsibility for Nate when they're in social gatherings or even in their future? Does she feel, because it'll be just mainly the two of them, ideally, you know?
Well, we've instilled from a very early age from, you know, to her that if something happens to us, she needs to make sure he's okay, and that she always has a room available in her house that if he needs somewhere to be, that he would have somewhere to go, and she needs to keep an eye on him. So we've told her those kind of things.
And so some parents would say, well, that's a lot. That's a lot for a kid to bury. But
that's what family is.
Exactly. That I was just going to say, like, biblically speaking, that is what we do, especially with that immediate, you know, family. Now, you know, maybe not so much extended and this and that, but I mean, just culturally, I would say that that's more of like an American individualism idea versus like a biblical or even what we see in other countries and cultures and tribes. Like, no, you take care of your family. And so I just wanted to kind of clear that up, because some people will say, you know, well, I think that that's a lot and she should be able to just go and like live her life and check in with them. But
she's a package deal. And we've talked about that when she filled out her spouse, you know, your wants, and you have to have thing that we filled out, and on there, whoever gets her has to at least like him and get along with Nate and know that probably periods of their life he may be living with them. So she's a package deal.
Right.
And that family unit is so important. We have to have that.
Because oftentimes when you have felt isolated, especially maybe at the beginning of the diagnosis and the changes, didn't you kind of feel like it was just the four of you for a while there? Like, and you kind of had more of an inward...
Nobody understood. And I was like, oh, God, I can't believe this is happening. And
And so with the friendship dynamic, being that they are a like a package deal, I like how you say that. Because, you know, we've tried to raise our kids that, like, okay, you may not care for so-and-so's friend or friend's sibling, but... you got to show them respect and kindness still, because if you want to be friends with them, that's their sibling. Like, you still need to care about them. So that's kind of the same approach you guys have taken. Have you ever had to cut off a relationship for one sibling's sake over the other?
I don't know about cut off. We had some neighbors a few years back that it just wasn't a good situation. The girl was kind of rude to Noelle, and I felt like Noelle was being kind of rude to Nate, and I don't know that we really cut it off, but it just definitely just didn't work out. Like, and that is okay. Friendship doesn't have to always work out, and it changes with seasons in your life. I know people I was friends with 20 years ago. I'm still nice to them, see them on Facebook or whatever, but those friendships change with life, and you have to be okay with that too. And we've told them the people in your house is what matters, and anybody else is a bonus. So people come and go. They move. They get more jobs. They have new relationships. It's okay, right?
Yeah, I like that idea that the people in your house matter and everybody else is a bonus, you know? Yeah. So, like, a bonus doesn't necessarily mean, like, you know, you have to have it or you're lacking if you don't, or that, you know, it's expected, you know, or that they're more important. It's like, this is what's important, and then that's just a precious gift that adds to what's fueling already in the home. So I like that. And do you feel like there's any particular, like, homeschool curriculum or classes that are beneficial for others that they might need to know about or maybe check out that could work for their child?
Well, the My Academies work really well. Sylvan, I think the people were great. It just didn't help Nate. And maybe he just wasn't in the place to absorb that at that time. So I don't blame them. The co-ops, the local co-ops, those are really good. I've enjoyed those. Noelle did classical conversations for a few years, and she did really well with that. If you're not familiar with that, they meet one day a week at a local church, and they do stuff all day long, and then they have assignments the rest of the week. So it really didn't require a lot of me, but I think it set her up for success because it was a hard curriculum. So that worked well, too.
So that challenged her, and then Nate wasn't a part of classical conversations. So how did that dynamic work? Like, Was he upset about it? Does classical conversation even have something for special needs children?
I would think that it would be very hard to incorporate that because they expect so much and there's so much work and there's so many books to read and things like that, which she loves to read, so that worked for her. And I think he was good because he was like, I'm not reading all those books.
Yes.
Yeah, so I don't think that he was too upset about that. And he has friends, you know.
So, like, when it comes to choosing curriculum, or do you just kind of see, like, where your kid is at and you just find that skill-based thing that might work best for them at that point? Is that how you...
I've tried to do lots of things. I remember buying these books. They were kind of expensive, and it was when he was really obsessed with Star Wars, and you could push the button, and it would tell you what the word says. I was trying to help him learn to read, and, well, that didn't work out. He didn't care anything about it. Yeah. You know? So, I mean, but I've tried lots of things. We've done lots of programs. I can't tell you how much money we spent on books and, you know, this and that. And but something about recently, this is really working for him, and if he decides he didn't like something, like he didn't like the science class, I put another one on there. Okay. I took it down a level. I thought maybe it was too hard, and it gets frustrating if you can't pass it after a while, you know, that kind of thing. So this is working for now.
Awesome. So you're just kind of staying in that flexible mindset. And then when it comes to homeschool co-ops, homeschool groups, or homeschool classes, a lot of people feel like there should be, you should accept the special needs kid and the kids that might actually academically be doing it. And then others are like, well, we don't feel adequate enough to do it, so that's why we don't offer it. What do you think is the happy medium there so that people don't feel cast out from not being able to be involved in something like classical conversations, or, you know, maybe even another co-op that where they don't want to cater to that? What's your thoughts on that?
I don't know about other areas, but for our area right here, there's so many options for you to try. There's classes. If you don't want to do a class, there's the co-ops. There's just you with your friends. There's online stuff. I mean, in our area, you have so much. You couldn't do it all.
Right. And so you really feel like if you can't find it, there's something to find it because of the
resources. There's something else to try. There's always something else to try. And that's something that I had to learn. It's okay. This doesn't work. You regroup. Try something else. Try something else. Because when you have a child, this adds another layer. Life is stressful enough, right? And, you know, and I work part-time, so that's a whole other dynamic. And when you have a spouse that his schedule might be crazy, that's another. It adds more stuff to your stress, you know. And you just have to be able to reduce it as much as you can. Make the best of whatever you can and, you know, hope for the best because it's a small time of life. I read a statistic the other day that said by the time your child is 18, you will have already spent 90% of the time you will get with them. And I found that very sad. Like, you know, I mean, you have one that's already hit 18, so you've already had 90% of the time that you're ever going to get with her, you know.
Wow.
So homeschooling allows us to get a lot more time with them. I'm very thankful that I have a husband that was able to support us so that I could stay home and do that. Because once those years are gone, they're gone. And you get, like, such a little time.
Well, and you're really blessed because you have a profession in the medical field where you can kind of not necessarily have to work full-time, but you're able to work part-time. But that's still a lot to juggle. So how do you juggle all of that? Like, having a special needs child, having two children, and, you know, you're a wife.
It's a lot easier now that they're older.
Okay.
Having a child that can drive makes all the difference because when I'm working, it's my weekend to work. I can focus on that. If my husband gets called in because he's on call, he can go to that. And Noelle's got it. Nate needs to go to work. She can handle it. She can take everybody where they need to go. Life does not stop for her. And so she can take herself to work and back. And just having that just extra, you know, help of having a driver has made a big difference.
So the driving, the older sister helps, and just kind of everybody communicating well with each other. And then at what age did you feel comfortable, or maybe what skill level did you feel comfortable leaving Nate alone?
Oh, he's been left alone for a few years. I mean, he had his phone, so if he needed anything, he could call us. And, you know, he was kind of really scared, probably because of all the stories we have told them. I don't know. They didn't really want to go outside or anything while we were gone, so he was okay with being in the house for, you know, a couple hours if we needed to do something.
Okay, that's awesome. And do you feel like there's anything you would have gone back and told your younger mama self after Nate was diagnosed?
It's going to be okay. It's going to turn out a lot better than you think it's going to. Relax. You're taking years off your life by stressing so much. You know, stop crying so much. I remember days where I would wake up in the morning and he had just done some of the craziest stuff. Like, he had sat up all night and he had taken books and just shredded the pages of the books, and there was just paper everywhere in his room, and he had rearranged his furniture, and like, I don't even know how he did it because he was so little, and like the dresser would be over there now, and the bed was somehow angled that way, and like he would pull up the vents on the floor and stuff stuff down there, and we'd have to go into the house and empty the vents because they were full of toys.
Oh my gosh.
And then he would open the windows, so we had to screw those all shut.
I'm just laughing because my husband does heat and air conditioning, so to know that that's going down in there, it's like, wow.
And I remember the doctor being like, well, that's a fire hazard. And I'm like, well, there's a small chance of a fire, but there's a really big chance he might not be in his room one morning. So we got to do what we got to do, you know? Like, we had to do what we had to try to keep him in the house. Because he did get out once. And, you know, it was just always this crazy stuff was happening. And so I was just always crying, you know?
Right. Yeah. Because you kind of, you feel like everything's out of control at that point. And it's crazy because there's like a little person, but everything feels so much more out of control.
And at that time, I was still the kind of person that liked everything clean and in its place, and I've let that go. I've, you know, just realized that's not going to happen as long as he lives there, and there's just always going to be, you know, just stuff. I mean, even today, his room, I try not to go upstairs because it bothers me so bad. His room is just, it's crazy, and I don't understand that, you know? So, I've had to come up with my own coping mechanisms. Mm-hmm. I've lowered my standards a whole lot.
Okay. And so how would you say he struggles with any OCD kind of stuff or?
Well, yeah, he does. If he sees you touch your face and then you're touching his plate or something, no, we got to get another plate. We got to start over, you know?
Yes, I have. That's Jacob. Yeah, that is Jacob. Or you've like coughed near it or, I mean, yeah. And it like literally starts all over. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what is something that you find are good qualities for people that you make your people, like you build your little tribe, and what is it that you think matters?
If you're high strung and you're making a big deal about everything, that's not going to be for me. like that's just too exhausting. Like, no.
Right. Because you just said you had to lower your own personal expectations and standards and just to kind of mold and accommodate to that, you know. But it's not like your house is completely messy and nasty because I've been there and it's breathable and it's, you know, clean. I don't want people to think that it's like, you know, there's paper everywhere because there's not. That was a season.
Well, there are times that our house is pretty rough, but my husband will come home and be like, I went in a really bad house today. And he's talking about how clean our house looks. And I'm like, wow, you know?
Yeah, it is all perspective, right?
Yeah.
Yes. What do you think, if Nate was here, you think he would want somebody to know?
That he's really trying. He also loves to text. And so, like, we had an incident last night, and, you know, it was a big blow up, and he went to his room, and he spent the next hour texting, I'm really sorry, please stop getting so mad at me, I apologize, I love you so much, he'll send me emojis, like, and that stuff is really, like, melts my heart.
So Nate would want people to know that
he is trying
and he cares. Like you said, he's writing you texts of apology and heart, which is very interesting because when Jacob was younger, I got a notebook and I would write to him and he would write back to me. It feels like sometimes it's just hard for them to do this, you know, just to be able to talk it out. It's like sometimes they need, there's something about verbally communicating in different ways, you know, like writing letters or the texting idea, that's really neat. But it does show that they feel so much, you know. Do you feel like they also have like a good sense of like discernment or judging of people? Like they're kind of, you know what I'm talking about? Like when
I do. There's been several incidences where I've seen something or I've seen somebody and I have to tell him, keep your mouth shut. Because he wants to say something like, you know, why are you doing this? Or why do you think that this is a good idea or something? I just never know what he's going to say. So we have to be very mindful about some things.
And you say even in that he's grown some, like,
yeah. I think so. I've told him, you know, just, you know, you can talk about things later. If it's not you, it really is none of your business. So just keep it to yourself, you know.
Awesome. And so is there anything else you'd like to say as a word of encouragement or anything you'd like to share?
I can't really think of anything except for, you know, just very fortunate to have you guys.
Oh, well, we feel the same way. So thank you so much for being on and talking with us and sharing your journey and encouraging others and giving some resources and stuff and just sharing really Nate's story and his triumph. Mm-hmm. Like, God loves him, cares for him. He was created in God's image. And we all kind of need to realize the compassion and the love and the softening of our own hearts that happen when we have children with various special needs. Like, that's, you know, they're God's creation, and we're actually really blessed and humbled to be moms of kids with special needs, because they slow you down and they make you much more grateful. So thank you so much. Yeah. And thank you, everyone. We'll see you next time.